1 Corinthians 1 and 27, the Bible said, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Amen. Praise God. I want to preach just for a little while on this thought. Keep on dipping. Keep on dipping. Amen. Praise God. I ain't talking about the kind that comes in a little round can that the cowboy carries in his pocket. I'm talking about the spiritual kind. All right? Amen. Keep on dipping. Praise God. Our scripture text finds us in that familiar setting. We've all heard it talked about. Most of us here could probably even preach it, maybe even better than I could here tonight. But I want to try my hand at it. I feel like the Lord touched my heart to go this direction tonight. Amen. The story of Naaman, captain of the host of Syria. Amen. That mighty man of valor. The man who was on in the enemy's army, whom the Bible said God used to turn the captivity of Syria. Amen. Praise God. The Bible revealed to us several different things about this man. The first thing that it reveals is that he was captain of the host of Syria. The Scripture said that he was an honorable man because he was a mighty man of valor. He knew his job and he performed his job well. He was the 5-star general, if you please, of the armies of Syria. It was him that God touched, and it was him that God, amen, used to bring Israel into Syrian bondage as a form of punishment and chastisement for Israel. Naaman was the one. God touched Naaman's mind and gave him the strategies to beat Israel in war. God touched Naaman's mind and used Naaman, even though he was a pagan, even though he was a heathen. Amen. God touched him and God used him to bring chastisement to Israel. The Bible doesn't only say that he was captain of the host of Syria, that he was a mighty man of valor, but the Bible presented a very, very deplorable dilemma in the life of old Naaman. Naaman was a leper. Anybody that knows anything at all about the days that Naaman lived, amen, you would say amen when I told you that leprosy was the most dread disease on the face of planet Earth. Amen. Leprosy was that disease that men and women would get that they would never recover from. It was leprosy that would carry them from among the land of the living to lay them to rest with their fathers in a burying place. There was no known cure for the curse of leprosy. Not in Israel, not in Syria, not in Samaria, not in all Jerusalem or Judea. There was no cure. Amen. But God had his sight set on Naaman. And God wanted to use Naaman to prove a point to you and to me thousands of years later in Lake Placid, Florida. God had a purpose and God had a plan in mind. How many believes in miracles here tonight? Amen. Webster said that a miracle is a marvel or a supernatural event. Amen. How many would say, now I don't want you to do this flippantly. I don't want you to do it half-heartedly. But how many of you would say, Brother Tig, I need a miracle right here in this service tonight. Amen. Praise God. I still believe in miracles. Naaman was just like you. And Naaman was just like me. He needed a miracle from God. He needed a moving of God. He needed the power of God to come upon him and overshadow his life. And so there was a handmaid, an Israelite slave that had been taken into Syrian captivity, and she would wait on Naaman's wife. And one day while she was in the house doing her daily chores, she was overheard saying, "Would God that my Lord Naaman could just get over to Samaria where the prophet of God is, because I know if he can just get over there to where God's man is, that God's man would be able to cure him of his leprosy. Amen. And now we can gather several things. Just bear with me. I feel kind of scattered here. We gather several things from Naaman's life, but we can also gather a few things from the life that handmaid must have been living in Syrian captivity. Amen. Let us examine her life for just about 5 minutes, and then we'll preach on. Amen. Do you know there's power in a testimony? Do you know there's power in the way that you live your life? I want you to see her now. She's separated from family and friends. Amen. Her freedom has been stripped away from her. She's no longer a free Israelite living in and around the city of Jerusalem, but she is a Syrian slave. Amen. She can't come without someone telling her come, and she can't go without someone bidding her leave. From the moment she wakes up in the morning until the moment she closes her eyes at night for sleep, she is under the constant control of somebody else. Amen. Oh, but even though she was separated from her family, even though she was separated from her homeland, even though she was separated from the temple, even though she was a Syrian slave, there was something in her heart that the devil could not steal away from her. She still maintained her faith in an almighty God that still had a preacher down in Samaria that could get Naaman what he needed from God. You ain't helping me, but that's all right. I'm used to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to see something here. Amen. We've got folks that can't come to church and you're surrounded by family members. We've got folks that lose their faith in God when one little trouble or one little trial comes along. Look at this little handmaid. I say, oh God, baptize us all with the spirit of that little Israelite handmaid one more time. Amen. Give us the grit. Give us the persistence. Give us the determination that little woman had in holding on to her faith in God. I want to tell you something. Amen. The night before Sister Caraway passed away, I stood in this pulpit. Amen. Those of you that were here, remember what I preached on. I preached on divine healing. And I'd like to shout it in the mouth of hell tonight. I still believe that there's a divine healer. I still believe that God is able to move and send miracles to His children. Can you say amen, somebody? I still believe that God is able to work and that God is able to move. And so at the word of that little handmaid, at the word of that little maiden, that little slave girl, word got back to Naaman. Naaman got word to the king, and the king gave him leave. And now he's on his way to the land of Samaria, where the prophet of God is abiding. I want you to see what happened here, and then I'm going to preach on. Amen. He arrived at the house. Amen. With his horses and his chariots, laden and loaded down with spoil and treasure, to pay the man of God for praying the prayer of faith. I want to tell you, Naaman was about to go about things the wrong way. You can't buy God's blessing. Say amen. Regardless of what these souped up Pentecostal TBN preachers tell you, you can't buy the blessings of God. There's people dying every day that tried to buy His healing, but it's not to be bought. Amen. Praise God. He delivers it out severally as He wills. It's up to God to do the healing, to do the miracle working, amen, to do the providing. It's all because of God. And so when he pulled his chariots up in front of Naaman's house, or in front of Elisha's house, old Naaman said, whoa. And he sent somebody to the door. Amen. They knocked on the door. And about the time Naaman made it up to the porch, the door creaked open. And it wasn't even the man of God. The Bible said it was his servant. Amen. You know what he told him? The man of God said, go down to Jordan and wash thyself 7 times and you shall be clean. Come on here now. Amen. And the door shut behind him. And the Bible said that Naaman was wroth. And he drove away in a rage. And he done then what some of us have done. He left talking to himself. You know what he was saying? Amen. Don't. And I'm just going to paraphrase this now. Don't he know who I am? Hey, didn't he see all of these eagles? Amen. Strapped on my lapel. Didn't he see these medals of honor? I've got one for courage, one for bravery. I've got one for conquering the most cities in Israel. Don't he realize that I'm used to coming to this God-forsaken land and taking what I please? I thought sure he would come out and strike his hand over the place where I was leprous at and pray to his God, but he didn't do it. And he drove away in a rage, talking to himself, all but cussing the man of God for not doing it like he thought. Amen. Behold, I thought. Amen. I want to tell you, one of the things that hinders us from getting what we need from God is too much thinking. Say amen. I'm just going to do a little cornfield preaching right here and pretend like I'm in Carolina. Is that all right? We do too much thinking. Say amen. Praise God. We put him in a box and we say, Lord, if you don't move like this, then it's not real. It's not you. We put him in a box and we tie his hands and we say, all right, amen, do us a Houdini trick and get out of this box, get out of this straitjacket we put you in, and then we'll believe it's your power, then we'll believe it's your glory. Hey, whatever happened to somebody that was prayed up before they ever got to the house of God? Somebody that come to the Lord's house expecting a miracle, expecting a healing. I know the pitiful excuse that we use. Well, Brother King, I've heard so much about it, but I've never really seen it for myself. Hogwash. How many here's ever been healed? How many here's ever been healed? Looky there. Goody, goody, devil. There's a whole house full who have seen firsthand miracles by the mighty hand of Almighty God. Come on here. Amen. 1, 2, 3. 10, 15, 20 that have literally felt the glorifying, quickening power of Almighty God sweep up over their body and heal them divinely. Say amen. Oh, but we say, I thought he was going to do it like this. I thought he was going to do it like that. I thought he was going to send Brother Tig to my pew. I thought he's going to send Don Rich. I thought he's going to have Brother L.D. Moore call me on the telephone. I thought it's going to happen. I thought that. Listen, that's our problem. We do too much thinking and not enough believing. Say amen. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll sit right there on that pew or even stand right here in this pulpit and we'll reason away our miracle. We'll reason away our healing. We'll reason away the miraculous touch of God. Hey, listen, the Bible says, and now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. A miracle, a marvel, a supernatural event. Something that cannot be explained by the human intellect. A divine intervention of God. An interruption of the Holy One when he comes down and has his way. Hallelujah. His servants caught up with him and said, if he would have told you to do some hard thing, surely you would have done it. Amen. All he's asked you to do was go down to Jordan. Yeah! That's all he wants me to do. Go down to Jordan. Is not Abana Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? That's all he wants me to do. Amen. He overlooked who I am. Listen, not only do we reason away our miracles, we allow pride to stand in between us and what God desires to do for us. Are you hearing me? I believe it do us some good. Listen, when I first got saved, they told me about years ago, back in the 40s and the 50s, in a little church I used to preach revivals in, they said them brothers in that, in our home church, them brothers, them old time brothers, others, they're most of them dead and gone now. They said they would have, amen, sackcloth services. You know what they'd do? You're going to think I'm crazy. I know you are, but that's all right. Amen. Listen, they ever so often when they'd get to needing a move of God, some of them brothers would meet down at the church. Sometimes it'd be 2 or 3 days. Sometimes it'd be a whole week. You know what they did? Amen. They're wives sold them flour sacks together. They got buckets full of ashes out of the wood stove, and they went down to the church, put on their sacks, rubbed ashes all in their hair, all over their face, all over their body, and they had them some sackcloth and ashes, fasting and a praying and a humbling themselves before God. You know what I think it'd do us some good if we'd push back the plate and say, Lord, I'm going to seek you until you come by and help us. You know what to do us some good? Amen. For us to push back the plate and get our flesh to the place where our pride wouldn't stand in between us and a move of God. Hallelujah. Naaman just about missed it because of his foolish pride. Oh, but he went on. Amen. He turned, slowly turned his chariot toward the waters of Jordan. And when he went down there, amen, he stopped them by the river's edge. And I can see him when he stepped out of that chariot and that great entourage that was with him, watching that mighty man of valor that had been on battlefield after battlefield. That mighty man of valor, so highly decorated and recognized among all of his countrymen as being captain of the host of Syria. I can see him when he takes off, amen, oh, that extravagant robe that he had on. I can see him unpinning, amen, them badges of honor one after another. Come on here. I can see him wrapping himself the way that David did the day that he danced through the gates of the city of Jerusalem. I can see him wrapping himself, amen, in the garments of a servant. I can see him wading down in the old muddy Jordan. Amen, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, about chest deep. And you know what he started doing? Everybody knows. He started dipping himself. He went down one time and came up a washing. He went down another time and came up a washing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times nothing happened. But when he went down the 7th time and came back up again, the Bible said that his skin returned unto him like the skin of a little child. He was healed because he quit thinking and started believing. He was healed because he swallowed his pride and did what the man of God said do. He was healed because he had learned not only how to give instructions, but how to follow instructions. Say amen, somebody. Amen. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes if we're going to get what we need from God, we're just going to have to abandon our reasoning and our own best interest. We're going to have to abandon our way of thinking, and we're just going to have to totally surrender ourselves into the merciful hands of a loving God and say, here am I, Lord. Do with me what you will. I want to tell you, before you get to that place, you better count the cost, because there's no telling what God's going to have you doing. Amen. You sisters of them $30 hairdos with a big tall poof, amen, you're so proud of that mop that you spend more time in the mirror fixing it on Sunday morning than you do in the prayer closet praying, asking God to bless and move. That's the kind I like to see him get a hold of and run his holy fingers through it and mess it all up and shake it all down. Come on here. Some of you brethren spend more time, amen, shining your shoes on Saturday night, getting ready for Sunday morning, than you do on your knees praying and talking to God. I'd like to see him shout you out of them shoes one time and scuff them all up. Come on here. Amen. Listen, we've got to get to the place where we're trusting him, obeying him, hearkening unto him, doing what he wants us to do one more time. And if we will, God will move for us. I said God will move for us. If we'll trust him, he'll move. He'll move. Not only do we have to put pride behind us, but we have to start being more persistent in our seeking him. Amen. I'm going to preach this out since you're quiet and it's Thursday night. I'm just going to preach it out. Amen. One man said you got to get a bulldog grip. Amen. Praise God. You got to get a bulldog grip. Mark 5:24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Amen. Hey, that's a bulldog grip. That's persistence. Amen. Somebody say persistence. Amen. You've got to be persistent. The Johnny-come-latelys of our day have come along and tried to teach us the damnable doctrine that if you pray for something more than once, it must mean you don't have any faith. I can show you in the New Testament where Jesus prayed for the unity of the church more than once. Come on here now. I can show you over and over in the Scriptures where the Apostle Paul prayed for things to take place in the body more than once. Come on here. Amen. Why, he had his own personal affliction, and the Bible said he prayed 3 times. Come on now. Amen. Praise God. It's not a lack of faith. The Bible told us the story in the book of Luke about an unjust judge and a poor widow. That widow woman had an adversary that afflicted her sore day and night, night and day. Amen. And she went to the door of the house where that unjust judge lived. And there she beat on the door. Hey, I need some help. I've got to have some help. Hey, I know you're in there. Would you intervene for me? I need somebody fighting in my corner. Hey, would you help me? I'm not going away until you come out here. I need you. There's nobody to fight for me. There's nobody that'll move for me. There's nobody that can help me. Would you please come and help me? Fight my battle for me. Come on here, church. Hey, the Bible Bible said that that unjust judge said in his heart, I'm going to avenge her unless she trouble me sore. Amen. I've got to do something about this. Hey, the Bible went on to teach us, how much more shall your heavenly Father avenge his very elect, which cry out unto him day and night. But it takes persistence. It takes somebody that'll cry out. It'll take somebody that'll hold on to the promises of God. It'll take somebody that'll die out to this world and totally abandon themselves into the loving hands of God. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You believe the word of God, don't you? In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Hallelujah, I believe every word of it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Praise God, that ought to be enough scriptures I've read to you already to convince you to be persistent in your praying, persistent in your church attendance, persistent in your crying out to God, persistent in your Bible reading, persistent in your fasting. Come on here. But that ain't all of them. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Somebody say all. He didn't say part of them. He said all of them. Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From which cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Amen. Jeremiah 32, that great prophet of God was a praying and a talking to God, and his soul got raptured away in the spirit. Anybody ever felt that way? Of praying, that's where he was. And he said, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Well, it's all right to get called away in the spirit and make that proclamation. Lord, if you can create all of this, surely there's nothing too hard for thee. Oh, I got to preach on. I feel like a mean streak's arising up in me. Amen. 10 verses later, amen, Jeremiah made the statement in 32 and 17. 10 verses later, right in the middle of the prophet's prayer, the Holy Ghost came into the room. And God zipped Jeremiah's mouth, and the Holy Ghost started talking to Jeremiah. He said in verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Come on here now. Amen. The answer, of course, being no. There's nothing too hard for God. Jesus cleared it all up in the New Testament when he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Hallelujah. Amen. It don't always happen the way we think it's going to happen, but it always happens according to God's divine will in the lives of those that serve him, in the lives of those that are living for him. Not only, amen, do we need to take care of our pride problem, not only do we need to believe God and be more persistent, but we need to start praising him a little more for what he's already done among us. Can you say amen? Matthew 8, the Bible said, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The first thing the leper did before he asked for anything was worship him. Come on now. Amen. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's a commandment for everything that breathes. Birds, dogs, cats, cows, sheep, goats can even praise Him. Say amen. Praise God. Everything that hath breath, sinner man, saint, everything that breathes, praise the Lord. That's what the Bible said. But Jesus cleared it up. He said, even though everybody can praise Him, He said, the time is coming and now is when they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I tell you, a sinner can praise Him, but only a saint can worship Him. Amen. Come on. Only a child of God can worship Him. Only somebody with a heart that trusts Him, that's the crowd that can worship Him. Somebody that's abandoned themselves to His will, that's the ones that can worship God. My God, I'm a feeling this thing. Are you hearing me? Amen. Only those that say, I surrender all, those are the ones that can really worship Him. It takes spirit and it takes truth. And that leper surrendered himself to Jesus. He cast himself into the faith and the hands of the Master, and he bowed down before Him and worshiped Him. Worshiped Him. If thou wilt, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy departed, and he was clean. Whew. Another time, Jesus had a group of lepers come to Him in Luke the 17th chapter. 10 of them to be exact. They all needed a healing. And Jesus simply told them, go, show yourself to the priest. And they turned and walked away. And while they was walking toward the temple to show themselves to the priest, one said, wait a minute, that spot of leprosy that used to be on my hand, it's not there anymore. And another one said, wait a minute, that spot of leprosy that used to be on my belly, it ain't there anymore. And another one said, wait a minute, that spot of leprosy that used to be on my ankle, it ain't a mohosata mohosataya. It ain't there no more. Come on here. And they all got so caught up in shouting and worshiping up, then they went right on to the temple. But there was one in that tent that said to himself, wait a minute, it's not enough for me to just get healed. I've got to go back and give the one that healed me some worship and some praise and some adoration. Come on here. 1 out of 10. I'd say that's about how it is in the church. 1 out of 10 is really thankful for what He's done for them. Come on. But if we can get 1 out of every 10 to worship Him, amen, 5 out of every 50, 10 out of every 100 to really give Him glory and praise and honor, what kind of work would God be able to do among us if 1 out of 10 would give Him glory? Amen. I'm struggling. I'm trying to preach this out. Amen. You know what you got to do? Before you're going to get anything else, you got to worship Him for what He's already done. Come on now. Amen. I've met folks. Now I am. Praise God. I've met folks through this tragedy, standing in the viewing line, have folks snuggle up real close to me and say, I'm sorry that I hadn't been coming. I'm sorry that I hadn't been faithful. And I'm sorry I hadn't been paying my tithe, as if they just apologizing to me would be enough. Come on here. Folks ain't doing it to me, and they ain't doing it to you.
They're doing it to him. Come on now. 10 happy-go-lucky lepers. All 10 of them got what they needed. But only one turned back to give him praise and worship and honor for what he had received. I want to be that one, don't you? I want to be that one. Folks, amen. Seem like when tragedy comes, I heard on the radio just this week that there's not one person alive on the face of planet Earth who can remember a time when Bible sales have been more than they are today since September the 11th. They said in over 200 years in America, Bible sales have never been what they are since September the 11th. You know what that tells me? Folks are getting interested in religion. Come on here. Folks are getting interested in what God has to say about the matter. Folks are getting interested, come on here, about what's going on, what's fixing to happen, what's taking place. But you know what? It's going to take more than just a nonchalant interest in what the Bible says. It's going to take reading it, eating it, hiding it in your heart, and applying it to your life. It's going to take putting it up on the table at supper, putting it at your bed at nighttime, waking up and getting into it first thing in the morning. Come on here. You're going to have to talk of him when you rise up, when you sit down, when you walk in the way. You're going to have to bind it as frontlet between nine eyes. You're going to have to write it on your doorpost. You're going to have to tell your children about it. It's going to take it persistence. It's going to take it praise. It's going to take it getting rid of our pride if we ever get to where we need to be with God. Now, there's some here tonight who raised their hand. Amen. I'm not just fighting as one that beats the air here tonight. Oh, no. I came with a very sincere desire and a very targeted goal in mind. There's some who raised their hands here tonight in sincerity and said, "Preacher, I need a miracle right here in this service tonight." The Bible assured us that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Can you say amen? And so, amen, right here in this portion of the service, I want you to look back through the history of your life. Has God ever done anything for you? Has the Lord ever sent you a miracle? Come on, don't try to mislead me. Has God ever... Hands went up all over this house when I said, "As the Lord..." You're getting scared. You're kind of drawing up on me here. Hands went up all over this house when I said, "As the Lord ever healed you? Has God ever blessed you? Has God ever touched you?" Amen. I want you to remember what God has done for you back yonder. And I want you to slip up your little hand and start worshiping Him and thanking Him for what He's already done. Let's start out just like that leper. Let's give Him praise and glory and honor for what He's already done among us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for mercy and grace. God, you work wonders in our life. God, you've shed forth your quickening power among us. Lord, you've helped us time and time over. Lord, you've moved among us, God. You've sent miracles among us, God. You've healed our bodies, Lord. You've bound up our broken spirits, God. Oh, you've poured in the sweet balm of Gilead in our wounded spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you've been there for us when nobody else was. Oh, we worship you. Come on, church. Come on, church, worship Him. Don't play games with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of worship. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy of honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, sweet Lamb of God. Sweet Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? I'm going to ask Sister Leader to come. Get ready to play something on the piano. Amen. Let's lift both hands if we're able. Hallelujah. You need a miracle.